Good morning. Thank you, Scott and Brian, for really setting our heart and mind on some very foundational things that really, really encourage us today, don't they? Some really foundational truths that we place our faith upon, our trust upon, our belief upon. We're going to finish that up in our teaching this morning on just how our faith increases, but I just wanted to kind of encourage you and begin this morning with who here wants their faith, trust, and belief in the Lord to grow? Right? Upon his truth, right? Right? And that's we need, in a way, we desire God to minister to our lives in that, in every area of that, because we know when we put our trust and belief and faith in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of his word about the hope that we have, the living hope, all those kind of things that we're learning from God's word, our lives are able to endure, persevere, see the hope that we have in the midst of whatever circumstance, all those kind of things. And so, as Brian mentioned, I was talking to him Friday and talking to him about, you know, I think I'll get into some of the love, because the next thing is in our text is growing in love. And then as I worked on it more, and we'll get to that next week, that kind of thing, we're going to finish this up on increasing faith. So today we take our third look at the first five verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And the whole first chapter, the Apostle Paul is wanting to comfort this church in its intense persecution and afflictions that they endure. He wants to bring comfort to them. He has some truths that he wants to talk about. He's going to talk about them, but they have intense afflictions, persecutions, challenges of life going on. And Paul begins to comfort them with commending them with the truth of their walk with Christ. That's a great way to encourage somebody. You know, we all are working on our relationship with Christ. We're all walking with Christ, but to encourage someone is to recognize, to give recognition where their walk with Christ is flourishing, where it's happening, those kind of things. You can point those out. And the basic truth of their walk with the Lord, this church, is that they are a church to be proud of. That's such an amazing statement. Each time I go through this and look at this, he boasts about this church to other churches. That's an amazing thing if you think about it. They are a group of believers who gather for the purpose of worship and edification toward Christ-likeness, and they are growing and maturing and increasing in that. None of them have arrived in any of that, but they're doing that, and Paul gives thanks to God for them because God is the one that is growing their lives, maturing it tremendously. And he says that right in text. We just thank God for you, a church that we're proud of, because God's at work in your life. And really, that's the whole crux of everything that we're doing. You know, in our lives, that's what we would desire, that God would be working in our lives, that he would be growing our faith, growing our love, that he'd be all these things that we're looking at, that this would be happening. And like I said, none of us have really arrived at the perfect spot or all the way to it, but we recognize that that's the thing that to be proud of, in a sense, and to share with others, is that God is tremendously at work in their lives, and they are a church that the Apostle Paul is proud of. So in the first five verses, Paul gives us these five features, five realities of a church to be proud of. We've been looking at them. We began a couple of weeks ago. We're going to take probably three more weeks after this to get through them all. But we've been acknowledging along the way, that's our desire also. That's my desire. Is your desire? That's our desire, right? We desire to have or desire to embrace these realities so we would be a group of true believers who gather for the purpose of worship and edification toward maturing in Christ-like also. We want to do well in that. I know we do. Our desire would be that as the church family, this church family, the Apostle Paul would see us as a church to be proud of. And if he wrote about our walk with Christ, we'd want him to write the same thing, wouldn't we? He's not going to write about us, right? But we'd want him to write the same thing. And we want the Lord to acknowledge that this is a church to thank God for, that to be proud of, to boast about, that God is at work at. Not about simplistic things, about real things. Faith, love, hope, perseverance, truth, the things that we want to excel in. So let's read our text, and we'll dig into this some more this morning. We'll kind of finish up. We'll review what we've already seen so far. We'll pick up where we left off and finish up increasing faith. The Word of God says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes, We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and your love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. There's a mouthful in all that. And we're kind of pulling apart and digging into it. It's just a great text. You hear Paul commending them in their walk with Christ. But the first reality of the church to be proud of is that they are a redeemed people. We've looked at all of this. They have new life in Christ. They have been born again, regenerated, made new. They have living hope. They have inheritance waiting for them. Right? There's a truth of all of that. And from verse 1, he says, they are in God and in Christ, meaning that their lives are truly in union with, one with, closely joined with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say something there. You don't choose that. When you're born again, when you're regenerated, when you're made new, when you have faith in Jesus Christ and God, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. When God does that work, that by that power of God in your life, he changes you, transforms you. That's what you watch. That's what you see. You don't choose that. God does that. He put your life in union with him. What you choose, are you going to walk like you are? That's the crux of it all. That's what's important. If you're a born-again believer in Christ, your life is in union with Christ. As much as I did the wedding yesterday, as much as a husband and wife, when they get married, their life had become one. And it's more. And you don't choose that it happened. You don't choose that God's power did that. All you choose is to act like it, live like it is. And so Paul is recognizing that in this, that they're a redeemed people. That's a church to be proud of. They recognize it. They see it. By the power of God out salvation, their life has been placed in Christ. It's the verses that we've been reading along the way. It's Colossians 3:3-4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. It's you died to sin, you died to self, you died to serving self. Your life is guarded in Christ. It's Christ now is our life, as he says. It's Galatians 2:20, and we've looked at that many times, but this is the truth of those who are lives that are in Christ, in God. I have been crucified with Christ. Same deal. I've died to sin, died to self-gratification. I still battle it, but I've died to that. That's no longer who I am, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's a reality of those that are redeemed. And we've dug into all of that. Every true believer, their life is in Christ, protected by Christ, one with Christ, happens in true salvation, and we looked at it. It's recognizable. You can identify it in your own life. It's not hidden. It's there. It happened. You're not really maybe understanding everything that went on, but God did this. This is anyone whose life is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ in some shape, form, or manner, they're maturing in Christ-likeness. It may be slow. It may have some obstacles and all of that, but God saved you by the power of God, gave you new life. God's going to work in that life. You can rebel against it. You can fight against it. You can not accept it. You can maybe not understand the truth of it. But if you're here at this church at any time at all, you're going to understand the truth of it. And that God is going to do the work in you that he began at the beginning of your salvation all the way to the end. Because that's what God does. There's conviction of sin that brings repentance through godly sorrow to confess and change, for the Holy Spirit dwells in you. We've talked about this a lot. There's a submission to Christ's lordship, a love for God, a love for his word that directs the way of you. Yes, it's a journey. And yes, the journey is up and down, struggle at many, many times. But there's a new life in union with the Lord that seeks to walk with Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit through the word of God. You can look at your life and recognize it, that your life is connected deeply with the Lord as you walk with him more deeply. That's where it starts. That's a church to be proud of. That's what Paul is commending them for, giving them recognition to encourage them in the midst of intense affliction and persecution. You're the Lord's. You can get through this. You can continue to increase. You can continue to flourish. You can continue to love God, and God will continue to use you in this world, even in the midst of the hardest circumstances that you're in, because you're the Lord's. That's where it starts. Being a redeemed people that know they have life in Christ, they recognize it. Second reality, we began last week. They have an increasing faith. Look at verse 3 with me again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. Ought there in the Greek word is to be indebted, to be bound to, be obligated to. Paul says that we are indebted, bound to, under deep obligation to thank God for you and your increasing faith, because that's what God does in a redeemed people. Now, let me just encourage you this morning. That's a struggle, isn't it? Isn't that a struggle? Your faith to increase, your trust, your belief in the truth of God and His Word and to live it in the midst of difficulty and afflictions and relationship issues and job issues and the life going not the way we would want it to go, or life going the way we would want it to go, and all of that. That's a challenge, isn't it, for your faith, your trust, your belief in the Lord and His Word to grow, right? Right. But we ought to thank God because it grows, right? We're obligated, bound to, it says that, right? As it is fitting, it says, that means as it is proper or suitable to do. If you're growing in your faith, if you're maturing in your faith, if you're trusting in the Lord and those things are happening in your life, you're bound to, you're obligated, you need to look up and you need to thank God, you need to praise God, because that's what God does in somebody that is His, that is born again, that is His child. Now, we can embrace it and it happened quicker. We can accept it and it happened more flourishing and that kind of stuff. But we want to thank God for it, and that's what He's doing. For increasing faith, for it's God that's working in your life. The Bible says we're called to walk by faith, stand firm in the faith, continue in our faith, be built up and established in our faith. There's all kinds of those things. So those with genuine conversion, those who have been redeemed with their lives in union with the Lord Jesus Christ are increasing in faith. By God's sanctifying work in their lives, we are obligated, for it's proper to thank God for faith and that it's increasing. And so we need to have a good definition as we move along here of what faith is. It should have something you could grab hold of. You know, it has some. Faith isn't just this mystic thing. I just kind of believe in you know, the powers of nature working the things, that kind of thing. It's in something solid. Faith has a solid meaning. Let me give you a really simple definition for you to write down so you understand what increasing faith, what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what faith in God's truth, from the original language and from what He means, what the Word of God is saying, faith. Faith, this is a simple definition. Faith is to believe and trust in Jesus Christ and God's Word to guide your way. You need to put belief and trust. You know what you believe. Belief, right? What you trust in. You know, you always use the chair illustration. If you believe and trust, the chair holds you up, you sit in the chair, right? Well, from practice, we understand it would, but you don't know if I cut the bottom leg out, then it might go boom, right? But I want you to get that in your heart and mind. It's this: faith is to believe in and trust in the truth of God's Word concerning who God is, who you are, and God's way for all of your life. I want you to think about that. Do you have total trust and belief on who God is according to the Bible? Then you need to get in the Bible and understand who God is, and you need to trust and believe what God's Word says who God is. Do you have total confidence, trust, belief in who God says you are? You need to get in God's Word to say who you are before salvation, after salvation, and the promises of God that come to you. And do you have total trust and belief in what God's Word says the way of you should be? That's what we're talking about. That's to increase. That's to grow. That's to flourish. That's to keep coming forward. We looked at a lot of that, but an increasing faith, that happens more and more. Let's review the journey of 1 Thessalonians with me, the Thessalonian church. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Let's review the journey of their faith. And as we look at this, think about your own faith. But always connected to my faith is my trust and belief and faith. Interesting, in the Greek, that's the same word, pistos, in the Greek. It's translated belief, trust, faith. It's just different forms of the verb or the noun, but the same word, right? And so what we're wanting to understand, wanting to know, we're all on a journey of faith, and here's the journey of the Thessalonian church, that a church to be proud of. Here's the journey of their faith. What's going on? They never arrived at having the faith like Jesus had. They never did. But they're a church to be proud of. Why? Because God is at work in their life. They're thanking God for working in their life, and they're trusting and believing and putting their faith in the God of the Bible and the truth of God's word, and they're living accordingly in the midst of horrific circumstances. That's why. That's growing in their life. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope." All right, they've been in church less than a year. He writes a letter, and he says, you know, we're praying God, and we're recognizing that you have a work of faith going in your life. What's that mean? In their journey. So the church has this faith, belief, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and God's truth of his word. They're being persecuted. They're poor. They don't have really much going on. But the works that are coming out of it is bringing godly works from their lives. And the main godly work is maturing in Christ-likeness, character, in all action, attitude, and thought. Their body of Christ, the church, and what's coming, the faith that works, that's coming out, brings godly works out of their lives. They're loving each other. They're serving each other. It's a maturing in Christ-likeness in all character, in all action, attitude, and thought. That's coming out of their life. It begins. Paul is thanking God for it. Right? This is their journey. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. So we're a little bit later, and Paul is concerned about them, and he wants to go check on them and what's going on, because he says, you know, we told you you're going to be afflicted, and we're going to be afflicted, and life's going to be hard. And remember, he was run out of town. And so chapter 3, verse 2, we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. So they sent Timothy, right? So they need strengthened and encouraged in their faith. They're still growing in it. They need strengthened and encouraged. How many in our room, and right here today, need strengthened and encouraged in your belief and trust and faith in the truth of God's word and who what God did in your life? Well, that's what the Word of God preached. That's what learning the Word of God. That's what the Bible studies are. That's what Sunday school's about. Wednesday nights, it's about learning God's Word, and your faith is increased by the truth of God's Word being believed and trusted. You guys get it? Okay? And so Timothy went there to encourage them. Their faith, right? Look at chapter 3, verse 6. "But now when Timothy has come to us from you," all right, he came back. Here's the report. "He's brought good news of your faith and love." There you go. He brought good news. Their faith and love still continually grow. They're still continually to increase. So it's still moving forward. It hasn't become flat. Let me tell you, it happens in people's lives. It becomes flat. You kind of hit some plateau on your faith and trust and belief in the Lord. It might be because the life is so full. It might be because you got so much going on. It might be this, that, but you might be not applying yourself. You know, God's wanting to work in our life, but it does become flat. And I don't want it to become flat in our lives. God desires for it to continually to flourish in our lives all the time, in our kids' lives, our spouse lives, our family's lives. But look at verse 10. Look what he said in chapter 3. "As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face, and may complete what is lacking in your faith." So they're praying night and day, and they want to get there to see what complete, maturing, what's lacking in your faith. So faith's always increasing. Paul and his companions want to see them, to help them continue an increase in faith. They're praying for their faith to increase. Interesting, they're in Corinth right now. They were there 3 years. Man, that was a battle in that church for them to trust and believe in the Lord. They had all the fleshly things in the way. They had all their self-gratification. They had all their pride and arrogance in the Corinthian church that was in their way. Paul said, "Man, I'd like to speak to you as a mature person, but you guys are like babies still, man. You got to have milk. You guys are still all." But it's the same thing. But he's commending this church. And I want to get there to help you mature your faith. We're praying for it. The Apostle Paul gets another report on them, writes the second letter, 2 Thessalonians. And in her text, he says, "Your faith is greatly enlarged." Now, always connect to faith, trust, and belief. Their trust in the Lord, their belief in the Lord, their trust in the truth of God's word, their belief in the truth of God's word. You only believe it if you act upon it. You don't believe God's word to be true if you ignore it and don't do it, or don't apply it, or don't believe it. The trust in the Lord, the trust in God's word is to act upon God's word, to say, that's what I believe and I trust and I'm going to live by it, regardless of circumstances. This is what's happening. This is why Paul says we commend them, we boast about them to other churches, because their faith greatly enlarged. That's an incredible statement. Their faith is increasing, flourishing over and above the normal expectation. That's what it means. The average. It's greatly enlarged. The church to be proud of has a faith and trust and belief in Christ and the truth of God's word that is flourishing in growth. I'm going to say one of the foundations to that is preaching the truth of God's word and about how it applies to your life and what it means and what God says. And they're focused on that. That's what they are. It's flourishing. It's flourishing in growth. They want it. They desire it like we do. That's our desire, isn't it? Is it your desire for this church to flourish in faith? Come on, help me. Interact with the Word of God today, what's being talked about. Is it your desire that your husband flourish in their faith? Ladies? Right? So we got a part in that, right? We pray to God, we do what we can, but it's God at work, right? Because if we could make it happen, ladies, you guys would make it happen, right? Come on, right? Right? And you would do it in your kids too, right? You want your kids, your children's faith to flourish, their trust and belief in the truth of God's word and Christ and all the hope and the inheritance, all the things we have, we want it to flourish, to grow greatly enlarged, right? We have a part to play in that. We act upon God's truth. We trust in him and do what we have, but it's God's work, right? That's the one we praise for it, right? That's the one we thank, right? And so this is us participating with what the Lord's doing, and like Bob said today, and God's got the outcome. It's all in his hands. Amen? This is a church to be proud of. This is going on. We desire this for our individual families, our children, our friends, to flourish in faith. Turn your outline over. Let me run through these quickly. Because we ask the question, and this is the important part of this, so how does it flourish? How does your faith increase? How does your trust and belief in God increase? We know God from his side, his desire. He increases. He works in our life by his providence. What's our side? How do we embrace the Lord's sanctifying work to grow our faith? First, persecution. Nobody likes that one. You can write affliction, suffering, tribulations, right? Trials, all those kind of things. Those difficult things in life that come into our lives. And God uses those in our lives to grow our faith. If we embrace God's truth, God's way, and God's word in the midst of those, we have a part in this. He uses those hard things to increase our belief and trust in God and his word. And we all need to increase. This church, it was incredible. It grew greatly enlarged, and their afflictions and trials and tribulations were incredibly horrific. And God used those to grow their faith. Look at verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians. It says, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. That's not like, you know, they gave you the wrong food at Taco Bell and somebody cut you off driving down the road and they didn't have the milk you wanted at the store and you went to Walmart and they were out of cat food. And I mean, we're talking about people hate you. You go to the market and they hate you and they despise you and they don't want you around and you can't work here and you need to get out. And then we ran Paul and the companions out of town and then we took some people and put them in a room and said, you know where they're at? All right, we don't. All right, let's let them out. We're talking about afflictions and their faith greatly enlarged. That just ought to take your breath away. That is so profound that God will use that kind of stuff, that kind of garbage in this world, people hating believers in Christ and their love for them and their care for them, and grow your faith greatly. That's profound. We wish it was the other way, that our faith would grow profoundly through our flourishing in material life. But this is how it works. Listen, they didn't surrender to the difficult circumstances. They turned to the Lord, drew close to him, and sought his truth and his wisdom and his way. In the midst of all the difficulty, they trusted the Lord and the truth of God's word. They saw the challenges of life as a way that God was going to grow their faith, trust, and belief in him. So when trials and tribulations and persecutions and afflictions comes, you have to work your way to believing and trusting in Christ's lordship of your life, to believing and trusting in the truth of God's word, with the outcome of faith being greatly enlarged. And your circumstances don't change. That's what God's at work at. That's what's going at work at this church. If we desire it at this church, be a church to be proud of, then God work through all of the hard things to grow our faith. Secondly, knowing God and the truth of salvation. That's how he grows our faith. That was Ephesians 1 last week. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17, the Apostle Paul told us to pray to God, to petition God, so you would know the truth of who God is clearly, and your faith is going to grow. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17. He says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus," he's writing to the church at Ephesus, other churches too, he said, "which exist among you and your love for all the saints." And there it is. There's a true trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And right from that, Brian shared with us that today, in 1 Peter, then there's a love for the saints that comes in our new life in Christ. He said, "I don't cease to give thanks for you while making mention of your prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Did you get what he said there? As God discloses to us through the preaching of his word, through the study of his word, through the Holy Spirit illuminating what God's truth is, as we are growing and understanding who God is, asking God to reveal who God is, the true knowledge of God found in his word, your trust and belief in God matures. It grows. That's why truth is so important. That's why error being taught about who truly God is so devastating. Because your faith doesn't grow on error. In verse 18 and 19, Paul says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe." So Paul's praying for our heart to be enlightened to the truth of our salvation found in God's way. And when you clearly understand the power of God that saved you, the riches of the glory that awaits for you, thank you for sharing that again today, and the hope of God's calling of you, what that hope is, your faith increases. Truth does that. Truth does that. Your trust and belief and faith in God and the truth of his word grows. Thirdly, look at your outline. On our list of five here, and this one's obvious. How does faith increase? Trust, belief in God? By maturing in Christ-likeness. Let me just give it to you kind of really simple. Didn't Christ have perfect faith and trust and belief in the truth of God's word and who God is? Was it perfect? Well, you're becoming Christ-like. What way is it moving to? The true understanding to a true faith, belief, trust in who God is, who Christ is, and the truth of God's word. That's what Christ-likeness does to you. You're going to be conformed to the image of Christ by the power of God. He said, "I predestined it before the time began that all that came to me, I'm going to conform them to the image of Christ." God's at work in your life. And so in that, we're being conformed to the character, all the attitude, actions, and thoughts of Christ, and they're all going to be trust, belief, and faith in the truth of God's word. I mean, it's, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12. Let's just look at this real quickly. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, you know, it's just obvious about pursuing Christ-likeness, becoming like Christ, God's sanctifying work in your life. We talk about this a lot, but let me just show you here in Hebrews here once again on how this increases your faith. How is it connected to increasing faith? Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says this, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now listen to what he says. The witnesses of chapter 11 trusted and believed in the Lord and in the Lord's truth and God's promises. It's their truth to them, no matter the circumstances that they were in. You guys remember all those guys of Hebrews 11, right? Moses, Joseph, right? All the guys, Sarah, right? Abraham, Noah, all right, Enoch, Abel. I mean, they're all in there. And what they did is they trusted and believed in the Lord and God's promises to them, the word of God, no matter the circumstances. That was their race of faith. That's the race they won. They never received the promised land. They never received what God promised them to them, because it was after the cross that the things that they were seeing and those kind of things, right? But they believed, they trusted in God. And that was their faith. You run a race of faith. You run a race of faith. You do. It's the race of faith set before you also, of trusting in God and believing the truth of God's word, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you see him? If you're supposed to fix your eyes on him, where is he? He's in the word of God. That's where you see him, right here. Fix your eyes on him. Here it is. He ran the race. He ran it perfectly. You can see it in the Bible. He's ran it, right? What did Jesus say? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. I've run the race, Jesus said. You got to deny you. You got to follow me. I'm the one that ran the race of faith. You want to grow? In running the race of faith, fix your eyes on Christ. You see all his human character, all his attitude, actions, and thoughts. You see the Lord's race of faith in the Bible. Jesus has already run the race of faith. He's out front wanting you to follow him on how to run like Christ Jesus. You are to look to him revealed in Scripture as you run the race of faith. Now get this in our text. If you don't lay aside every encumbrance and sin, I won't even get into all what that is. You don't run the race well. You don't run the race well. Say that fast 3 times. How do you lay aside what hinders your race? Simply pursue Christ-likeness. Got to lay it all aside. He'll show you your sin. He'll show you what encumbers your race, your thoughts, your ideologies, your philosophies, your own ideals, your own wisdom, your own things. All the things that get in the way of you running the race of faith, got to show you. He's not timid to show you. He will show you. He'll show you. That's what it is. Pursue Christ-likeness. Your faith increases as you do. 2 more. How does faith increase? It's encouraged by others. You guys remember 1 Thessalonians 3:2, right? It's encouraged by others. This is amazing right here. I probably could spend a couple of messages just on how it's encouraged by others. But just recognize you encourage other people in their faith, trust, and belief in God. Parents, you guys know this. But the church needs to know this. Remember, we sent Timothy, our beloved brother, God's fellow worker in the gospel, to strengthen and encourage you as your faith. Faith's encouraged by others. Listen to Romans 1. Listen to Romans 1. 1, 11, and 12. Paul said, I long to see you. He wants to get to Rome, to the church in Rome, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you and that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Do you understand when we get together and we just do the things that God has us to do, we encourage each other's faith to increase just by the faith that each of us have? It's Hebrews 12, or 13, let me read that to you, about the leadership. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the results of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Do you know the leadership in a body of Christ, any eldership, leadership that's in the church? They're walking with the Lord. They need to keep their life above reproach, that God calls them to that. They're called to be examples to the body of Christ. God has called the leadership to be an example of what it looks like to trust and believe and have faith in God and his truth of his word. Your elders aren't that in the church. Hold them accountable to it. They don't change, leave. God's called them to be the example of what it looks like to have faith, trust, and belief in the Lord and the truth of God's word. Now, I need to be held accountable. Brett's good at that with me. He's always getting on me. In a fun way, okay. But no, really, this is truth, right? In Philippians 1:27, there's so many I could cover. Philippians 1:27, where you guys encourage each other's faith all the time. You don't know it. half the time. It says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Listen to 2:17 in Philippians. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. We're so, this faith of others, encouraging each other into faith. Do you know people pour out their lives in the sacrifice and service of your faith? I wrote down about 12 illustrations. Let me give you one. Nursery ministry. Those people over there right now are watching, loving, and caring for your children. So you can be a church. So you can be involved in the body of Christ. So you can be involved in worship. So you can be involved in lifting the voice up, hearing the word of God preached, so your faith increases. If you attend here and your children are over there and you're not paying attention and you're not applying to God's word in your life, quit stealing from them. That's the seriousness of what we're talking about. Because they do that in their heart and mind. So your faith, trust, and belief in God grows because it ministers to us all. This doesn't happen by happenstance. This happens by people committed, surrendered, following Christ, and others encourage that faith. This is what Paul is identifying. That's why it's not about buildings, it's not about programs, it's not about grounds, it's not about famous preachers, it's not about great music, it's not about any of those things. It's about real life walking with Christ that God will acknowledge that Paul would write of and tell other churches about. Those guys got God going on in their life. They're true believers in Christ. And God has grown their faith. Next week, their love. See, that's what the Word of God's talking about. And how do we join in on that? We do it by encouraging faith in others. The last one, believing, obviously believing and obeying the truth. Obviously. Doesn't increase by you disobeying and not trusting in the truth of God's word. That's faith can't grow by you disobeying God's word and not believing his truth. It grows by believing and obeying the truth of God's word. As you honor God's word, obey it. Because you believe it, your faith increases. You remember Galatians 5:1, it said this. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. In your salvation, it was for freedom. Freedom from you, from serving self, to serving sin, to where you have freedom. You're not bound to that anymore. You've been set free by God to serve the Lord with a new life, that your life is in union with Christ, that loves God, that loves Christ. Why are you submitting yourself to the yoke of slavery that this world was about serving you? In whatever form of false teacher that does that. Here it was about circumcision. We've been set free from this world being about us to being about the God that created it and the God that's rescuing those in it, that God's going to redeem. We've been set free. What pastor with any grain of salt of untruth would try to preach the word of God now it's your freedom was so you could self-gratify? Paul wrote in verse 5 through 7, the same text, for we through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, by faith, by trust, belief, and the truth of God's word are waiting for the hope of righteousness. That's the eternal glory. For in Christ neither is circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You are running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Faith working through love. Because of the love of Christ, you have faith, trust, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. And because now you love God and Christ, you believe and obey the truth. Who hindered you from not obeying it? False teachers always railroad the true Christians obeying the truth. The enemy of God, through the false teaching, always brings havoc to true faith, getting you off from believing and obeying the truth of God's word. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4 to Timothy, he said, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." That falling away is to not believing and obeying the truth of God's word. Listen to what he said in verse 6. "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following." Verse 6, followed, being obeyed and believed, increases faith. Nourished on the words of faith, nourished on sound doctrine, and you following them, your faith will increase. That's what Paul just said. Let's close. I told you we get to love next week. Here's my final thought. So the church to be proud of is one through persecution, trials, affliction, tribulations, the challenges of life, turns to the Lord and his truth, seeking to know God and the truth of their salvation as they pursue Christ-likeness, encouraged by one another to strive together for the faith of the gospel while believing and seeking to obey God's truth, and their faith continues to be enlarged. And we're obligated to thank God for the increase, for it's proper to do so. That's our desire. That's our desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, just for the encouragement your word is to us, and just the understanding of here of just what true faith is, trust and belief in God and the truth of his word, and that this church, Paul thanked God for and he was proud of, for the work that you were doing in their life, for this increase of faith, for their faith to be greatly enlarged. It was you at work in their life. Their part was really just submission to the lordship of Christ and the truth of his word, to be vessels of honor, to be used by you, Lord, to just minister to each other in the body of Christ. That's what you do, Lord. That's your work among us. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.